So I'm going to keep up, try to keep up as well on my end, trying to keep us on time. So, so again, Camarino, Salazar, and again, they leave the best sessions for last, I think, right? APHA did that, and so I welcome that as well. Again, no disclosures. Just a quick overview of some of the learning objectives in terms of hopefully trying to convey the strategy undertaking for developing our school-based health center, some of the health services outreach using GIS, which has become very big in our system, and then most importantly, discussing some of the lessons learned with our projects as well. Just setting the stage for or trying to provide context for our health system's role and the community and also the integration of school-based health services in this area. So what are school-based health services? Well, I know we have many well-experienced individuals in the room, so I won't touch on this too much, but again, I think it's relatively well over 40 years old, but it's really its origins are in trying to, again, reduce gaps in care to underserved populations. For the most part, operated in partnership with a hospital system, local health department, or a community health center, largely driven by community needs, since, you know, you have diversity across this nation. So, again, it all depends on the location. Setting, largely located in, again, urban, major urban public school districts, serving largely diverse populations, economically underserved or minority. And, of course, we know the benefits in terms of the evidence, looking at how it has improved access to care, some of the economic benefits both to school health services or school-based systems, as well as the health-related and even educational outcomes that it's demonstrated along the way. So again, so what's prompted the development or expansion of school-based health services? Well, we know the Affordable Care Act. So you know March 2010 really demonstrated a significant change in legislation looking at healthcare system transformation, and as a major public health safety net system, we're foremost on the front lines. It's become a national priority not only for us, but for payers and providers in terms of how do we improve or make things more efficient, that we reduce costs, improve quality of care, at the same time trying to expand access through expanded insurance. And again, so it's something where if you're in healthcare right now, it's you're either going to pivot or you're trying to balance many competing priorities. So I always try to insert this slide in some of the presentations we make, but where you live does matter. The Commonwealth Fund did this health system scorecard, and I always illustrate really the disparities we see in terms of quality, efficiency, access to care, and of course you look at the southern portion of this nation. You look at the East Coast in terms of the high-performing health systems and also the lower-performing health systems, which Bexar County is, you know, down there in the central Texas. But, again, there are many factors involved. It's not only health system performance that gets impacted, but also it's the context of community lives, and we look at the economic and educational gaps that we see across the United States, and you see the association there. So where's Bexar County, Texas? Bexar County, Texas is, again, in south central Texas. You see that red dot right there in our large state. Bexar County is about a population of almost 2 million people. We have a median age of 32, so we're relatively young. But we've also, most importantly, have a lot of the undercurrents of disparity, chronic disease, high rates of diabetes, preventable complications related to diabetes. So we've developed over the years, as a legislative mandate, the Community Health Improvement Plan. And so one of the focus of these plans was actually to improve preventive screenings and care to children in our population. And so we've been prompted by, again, a community focus. But also, just like I touched on briefly right before the presentation, we're also involved in 1115 Medicaid waiver. And that has been huge for our state, for providers. But basically, we've been granted a waiver that will expand Medicaid managed care. Sorry, I keep moving away from the microphone. But it does provide incentives to hospital systems to improve how they deliver care. So Bexar County proposed 26 unique projects. One of them was expanding access to children and adolescents, especially in major urban districts in Bexar County. And so through this funding, we're able to use those dollars to, again, develop that center and centers. So here, just briefly, kind of an overview of kind of our immunization coverage. This is through a registry that we've had since the mid-'80s. About 300 plus providers have joined in. So that just gives you kind of an overview of some of the coverage rates there. If you see the neon color, let's see if you can move here, these are actually highly, the Metropolitan Health District has called as highly distressed, the top 10 high priority zip codes for various reasons, interpersonal violence, domestic and other, again, higher rates of crime, higher rates of poverty. So those are just kind of wanted to illustrate those in the center of our county. Here, looking at again the influenza vaccine coverage, and then also the Tdap vaccine is October 2014. Some major county districts, we have about a little bit over 320,000 children in Bexar County enrolled in our schools, and so those are some of the major counties highlighted there to your to the left of the county, which is the you know, again, the north, the south, and then here, actually in the orange, you'll see is the Harlandale Independent School District, which is where we developed our first school-based health center. And that is covered by at least two of the high-priority zip codes that the Metro Health has identified. So here we look at one that our Director of Public Health has always done, and before he retired, and one that we continue to do is the percent of economically disadvantaged population in the schools, and then those that have at least a minimum in terms of the criteria for the 1110 on their SAT scores. And you can just see the higher the percent of economically disadvantaged goes, the lower the SAT scores are in those populations. So again, just some additional context. So the setting, the Harlandale Independent School District, it is a school district with about 15,000 students, about 97% Hispanic, over 90% economically disadvantaged. Over half of individuals, 18 to 64, have no form of health insurance coverage. And again, it is in South Bexar County where you have at least two zip codes that are considered high priority by our city of the Metropolitan Health District. So how do we engage the Harlandale Independent School District? Well, we really took it on two fronts. Number one, from a health system perspective, we had never been involved in a school-based health center, so we had to go look and see and visit others that were doing very good work. We went to Tarrant County up in North Texas, and we did several days visit with the school district officials, looking at how they developed the school-based health center. And we also did internal sessions to look at our own internal capacity to deliver those healthcare services. One of the critical pieces that came out of that was our coordination of care. Again, we're a public health, major public health safety net hospital system in Bexar County. We have a service catchment area of well over 2.2 million people. And one of the things that we have oftentimes been focused on is improving coordination of care, because that is a critical piece. Also, our partnership with the University of Texas Health Science Center's Teen Health Program, that's been a critical piece that we've been working with and in our medical school partner. But most importantly, our proximity to health clinics, since we have a large ambulatory network of clinics, and so we wanted to make sure that the school-based health center was positioned in a way that care could be coordinated within those other regional or medical homes. And in school districts, we had planning sessions with the school district personnel, parents, and even some of the students. We had also took a geographic inventory of health services in the area. I'll show you a map shortly that shows some of the services that were available. But again, nothing extraordinary. Again, if you look at a map of where our services are located, they're mostly in northern Bexar County, near the medical center, and away from, I think, where you have high need for services. We also looked at student characteristics in terms of the population at risk, the demographic analysis, and then we also looked at public health data to help shape some of our health service needs in the development of that school-based health center. So here's just kind of a street-level view in terms of the Harlandale Independent School District. I'm sorry that the colors didn't come out very well. You know, you're always trying to make sure that when it comes out in the presentation, it comes out a little bit clearer, but we just mapped out the elementary schools, so they have about 23 elementary schools altogether, elementary, middle, and high, and again, it's about 15,000, a little bit over 15,000 students. And then in the black stars denote some of the clinics that are really among a major street called Southwest Military Drive, but again, very focused. So, oh yeah, yes, please. Sorry, thank you so much. It helps. So here's the main, I call it the main drag down Southwest Military, and then, but again, everything is very focused, and so nothing around the surrounding areas, and again, very limited. So what are the things that we have to negotiate? So as we did this engagement, both internally as a health system and externally with our school districts, one of the things that I think we all had to balance, and this is something that along these each of these district projects, our delivery system redesign projects, was that we had to balance several competing needs on road to implementation. The political, we had to engage and win support by not only school and hospital board members, because these were large investments. We had to also look at the logistical, identifying existing capacity or infrastructure location. Where was it going to be located, and would it be geographically accessible and central to this population that we were planning to serve? Programmatic, we had plans and activities that had to coincide with the 1150 Medicaid waiver reporting. Again, these were, I mean, I would think of these as almost like mini grants, but large five-year project mini grants that we had to make sure we had to meet the milestones that were written. And then operational, most importantly, again, ensuring that the negotiated timelines were maintained, as well as system investments stayed within predefined budget parameters. Not always a challenge, again, so the individuals involved, I think that we hold high praise for them for trying to do all these at once, which can be a challenge. So enhancing access to care, so we opened our first school-based health center in Bexar County on August 2013 at Collier Elementary. It is a primary care-based model. We have a PMP, LVN, and MA. We're open Monday through Thursday, and we have some evenings available as well. And again, it largely coincides with the school campus hours of operation. As of October 2014, we had a little bit over 2,200 visits. Most were for acute, followed by immunization, and then we had our well child and then some of the sports physicals that are always required as well. What was the first early achievement was that we had 100% completion of minimum state requirement vaccines for the Harlandale students, which they had never done before. So that was a win, and we felt that was a critical piece in terms of helping to establish a firm foundation. So there's some examples of our, or some pictures of our school-based health center. To the left right there, we had our opening with the school administrators, and here we have one of our new patients coming in to meet with the provider, and then so this is the temporary site, actually. So don't think this is the school-based health center. It's the temporary site that's located within there. Construction is still going on. So we will have that fully constructed, sometime by, I think, March of this year. But the school-based health center, we were able to form some office space and form it into clinical space on site of Collier. So we have those services ongoing right now as we get to prepare the official, the new clinical site down in Harlandale. So one of the things that we are using that has been very important to us is where do patients reside in proximity to the school-based health center? So at least initial visits that we have had, the unique visits, we actually map them to not only their place of residence, again, in proximity to the school-based center. So here you see that, you know, there's a large density in terms of patients that live in and around the school district right here, and then you actually have some from actually coming in from outside the Harlandale Independent School District as well. But I think it's a good illustration in terms of what we're trying to do with patients and trying to improve access. Quality improvement. So what do we do? What happens next? And how do we evaluate how well we are doing? Well, the waiver. We go back to the 1150 Medicaid waiver. As tied to each of these 26 projects and this one as well, we have certain outcome measures, whether they be process or outcome. We have certain milestones, improvement milestones that we need to make. So, for example, here it says includes outcome reporting and improvement in care that can be achieved within 4 years. So again, these are five-year projects, but the last 2 years of the project, they look at making sure, did you improve screening coverage? Did you improve certain rates based on certain baseline information that you started off with? So again, here the percentage of patients ages 3 to 6 years of age who receive one or more well-child visits within a primary care visit during the measurement year or care visit. Percentage of patients 6 months and older seen for a visit between October 1st and March 31st who receive the influenza immunization. and then also the recommended immunizations for adolescents by 13 years of age or their 13th birthday. So these are three metrics that the state has mentioned we must make and we must improve on. In addition to that, we have looked at other opportunities to evaluate our program in terms of not only the number of sick days that that tend to happen when you have individuals that are unable to seek or receive services, but also looking at what is the overall community impact and what are the perceptions by students, by providers, and by administrators. You know, we started off with a very firm foundation, and one of the things that we always worry about is we get so busy into the details that we tend to lose track of, you know, what is the bigger picture and where are we here in the first place. And again, I go back to the previous slide, is balancing, again, the logistical, the programmatic, all those reporting requirements that happen, but at the same time, making sure we keep in mind why are we here, what's really for population health improvement. Opportunities and lessons learned. So one of the things is, like everything, we go in with a vision. We try to approach it from a practical and pragmatic, and then sometimes we run into things that we did not foresee happening. But one of the important lessons and opportunities, again, is maintaining engagement by school district and visibility of services available in the community. I think this is very important. You know, the school district officials, their central piece is educating students. Our vision and mission is to keep students healthy so they can return to the classroom and do good work. So I think it's also maintaining that engagement throughout it, so making sure that, yes, the school-based health center has been established, but not letting it basically disappear into something else, saying, okay, it's been established, good, you know where to go. No, we want to make sure we maintain that engagement and visibility and try to highlight a lot of the good things that are underway. The other challenge has been staffing changes. Unfortunately, you know, with our other models, with our care model too, is that there has been sometimes a difficulty in terms of staff recruitment or even staffing to other of our clinics where we've had to move staff around. So that sometimes has broken down some of the consistency there. We've also had adjustment in hours of operation just to make sure that, again, balancing not only the activity needs, but most importantly, making sure that the hours of operation try to coincide with the parent needs. Because it doesn't help that if you're only open from, 8 till 3 o'clock in the afternoon and somebody needs to see you at 5 or 6 or even 7, that, you know, it defeats the whole purpose of that access. And so lastly, managing lower than expected activity, partially due to some of the managed care contracts, which we are negotiating as well. I think that's the piece, too, is making sure that we do have that in place. And then again, the ability to adjust competing demands and priorities. In healthcare, as if anyone's involved, of course, it's a fast-changing landscape, and so it's trying to maintain that very steadily. On the horizon, so we also, as part of our 1115 Medicaid waiver, we were also able to invest in a PD mobile or Healthy U Express. So that has recently arrived, and so we're expanding to a second independent school district, which is the Southwest Independent School District. But that will allow us to kind of go out of our, move beyond our static site and bring the mobile unit to those other underserved areas of the county, inner city. And then the health service impact, again, long-term, and I'm hoping maybe, next year if we're able to return to look at what has been the overall impact of the school-based health center in terms of population coverage, immunization coverage, especially tied to those waiver requirements that we've been asked to make sure we adhere to. Here's my contact information, and again, I do thank all the presenters and panelists for their consideration of the time commitment here and the logistical challenges that I ran into, as well as our moderator. Please feel free to contact me, and if you are in San Antonio, please visit us. We always have a very warm welcome to everyone.